Okay, so you guys love to travel. I do. Traveling is one of my passions, but one of the biggest hang-ups is money, right? It's expensive to travel, and it's always been the biggest hurdle. And most of my friends and family would say the same thing, that not only is time a factor, but money, right? It's expensive. So one way that you guys can minimize your travel expenses is through the Corporate Travel Concierge, or CTC. If you go to ctcvacations.com, they will book you at cost. Their goal is to avoid the markup. Their members travel at cost. They are dedicated to sharing public information about the true cost of vacations and allowing travelers from all classes to experience the vacations they didn't know they could afford. Their mission is to make travel affordable for everybody. So check out ctcvacations.com, and the next time you're traveling, book with them, because not only is it the most affordable way to take vacations and travel, but 10% of every deal goes to one of six charities that benefit police, teachers, nurses, the homeless, hospital, and veterans. And yeah, it's tax deductible for family or business, so you can also feel good about what you're doing in addition to saving money and having a great time traveling. So check out ctcvacations.com. Question: do you guys like coffee, and do you want to look good this summer? Well, check out jrthreads.com. They just opened, and they're about men's clothes. They have fresh coffee and other accessories like sunglasses, flip-flops, and hats. They even have attire for college football with mugs and t-shirts. It's really cool, guys. Very reasonably priced, and they're brand new. That's, again, jrthreads.com. That's J-A-Y-A-R-R threads.com. And you can also check them out on social media at ARR Threads on Twitter or JR Threads on Instagram. That's JAYARR Threads on Instagram. I'm telling you guys, you got to check this out. They've got some really, really good quality stuff. The website's very well done, professional, and it's got everything you'll need to look and feel great this summer season.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the reality era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's gonna get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Sunday, June 9th, 2019. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. And mercifully, the Super Showdown is over. And yes, as promised, I have some very, very strong opinions on that show. A show that will be hopefully long forgotten by wrestling fans across the world after we witnessed what we did in Saudi Arabia. It's not to say everything was all bad. Maybe I'm a bit overdramatic on this. I think in general, the pay-per-view was just a disaster. And I mean that in a respectful way, as always. So I'm going to get to that. There were some bright spots, as there always are. The entire show was not a disaster. It just left me feeling very awful about... I mean, there's no way to make big, cute words for this. It's just straight to the point. This was a pay-per-view that is one that WWE should hang their head about. And I am going to get into that in just a minute. But first, we're going to get into the wrestling nostalgia segment of the show. Start with some good. We got to start positive, because I can promise you that later in this show, we will not have that feeling. I promise you. Turn your speakers down. I'm not going to yell. I'm not Dolph Ziggler in a promo. I'm not going to yell. I don't yell. Even when I'm super angry, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's in a argument with a spouse, family, friend, never. I don't yell. I just don't yell. So don't worry about that. But my point is, I'm going to speak very strongly and probably try, I'm going to try not to put my mouth too close to the microphone. So just a bit of a heads up there. So if you're on, you know, in your car or you're in your house and I'm on your Bluetooth speaker, you may want to tone it down just a bit because it's a, it could get, things could get ugly quick. So, all right. But before any of that, just a couple of quick updates. As always, I like to make this my housekeeping session of every show. The end of the week, of this week, as we start a new week, it's Sunday. So I will have a brand new shiny website for you guys by the end of the week. And without any further complications that I see, that's the due date that I'm promised is the end of this week will be the new website that I'll be debuting. And I'm super excited to see it. I've been working with someone very closely on it. I'm trying to make it, as I said, a much more updated and 2019 version of what it should be. And I think that it'll help out the show. It'll help you guys get the content you need and lots of other bells and whistles that will be coming down the line that you guys will, I hope, enjoy. I hope enjoy. Because, and I mean, I can just tell you what is going to be on there in general. There'll be a podcast section, obviously, right? So every post that I put up will be have the audio file attached to it. And there'll be an articles section or an opinions section, rather, that will house my own opinions. And I'm looking to bring on other people to this. This won't just be my thoughts put into this. I want other people's opinions that will, in writing, okay, not another co-host. I'm not going through that selection process again. This is for writing only. So there'll be an opinion section of that website where you can read other people's thoughts and predictions and reactions to the goings on of WWE. So that should be a whole lot of fun. There's also going to be a videos section. And while I don't personally have any videos right now of me, I will be adding those in the future. I'm just going to be linking it to my YouTube channel. I actually have a YouTube channel, yes. There's not a whole lot on there. There might be one or two videos of me from a couple years ago when I tried to do the green screen bit and all that. So it'll be right now a YouTube link to that portion of my website. Eventually, there will be a video portion of this show where I can give you guys my thoughts, maybe live thoughts on things that are going on. Again, this is down the line, but I wanted to create that website proactively for the things that I'm envisioning this website being, you know, in 5-10 years is what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to lay the foundation for that. So there'll be a video section. And you know, again, guys, I haven't seen the final product yet, but this and these are the sections of the website that I'm looking to do. I'm also just, I want to make it very clear. This is going to be a website I hope is user-friendly. I'm not making it so complicated. I got to add this and this and this and this and this. This is something that I want to be make it easy for everyone to navigate, have feedback, all of that. So I spent a lot of money and time on this. So hopefully it comes out good and I'll keep you guys updated. As for now, the old website still exists in its very undead format. Kind of a just, it's not great. I'll just leave it at that. So, okay. Well, let's get to the wrestling nostalgia portion of the show. And that is something that occurred on May 17th, 2004 on Monday Night Raw. And my, oh my, could you imagine this segment happening in 2019? So back in 2004, you may remember a star, a wrestler, as they called them back then. Then they just somehow transformed into superstars. But back then they were known as just wrestlers. You may know the name Eugene. Now, before I get into what happened on May 17th, 2004 with Eugene, I want to give a couple of quick thoughts on what Eugene is, if you don't know who he is, and my reactions to the overall character. And so Eugene was, in storyline perspective, the nephew of Eric Bischoff. And Eric Bischoff, being the general manager of Raw at the time, was embarrassed about being related to Eugene, would try to humiliate Eugene. Eugene was the nephew, but he was also a special needs character. Yeah. a special needs character that WWE bordered on, I don't want to say lawsuits, but just they bordered on a PR disaster with this one. And obviously Nick Dinsmore, who was the man who played Eugene, ended up having a bunch of drug issues. The character didn't last too long, a couple of years. And maybe not even a couple of years. I'd have to look that up, actually. I don't know. It probably was a year or less that this Eugene character lasted. It wasn't long. As I said, Nick Dinsmore had a lot of drug issues. And so that didn't last long. However, the shelf life of this character, while it was very intriguing, and it had, honest, I can't remember the last time somebody ever attempted this, because it is an extremely fine line that you are walking, even when WWE back then was a privately owned company. You didn't have the sponsors to really answer to so much. It was 2004, and people weren't so sensitive, and everybody didn't feel like they have a victim mentality or a protected class that they're in. I mean, all this nonsensical crap that people are trying to shield themselves with today, they didn't really, well, in 2004, that wasn't at the forefront of the news media. That wasn't at the forefront of society or social media, which was barely getting its feet wet at all in the internet world. There were still chat rooms and AIM and all of that. So in the pre-social media explosion and pre-WWE being publicly owned, you have this character that is the nephew in storyline of Eric Bischoff, who is the general manager, whose special needs is mimicking his favorite wrestlers in the ring. It was entertaining as hell. I'll be honest, the crowd got behind him in kind of like a you go get him, buddy, kind of way, but he was entertaining at the same time. It's a dangerous character to play, a very dangerous. And I think if WWE did that today, I would think that 75% of their sponsors would be gone on Tuesday morning if they did it on Monday Night Raw this week. I mean, it really was that bad. And especially this segment, and I'm not going to play the whole thing, but as always, I give you guys a little audio. The coach in this segment was berating, just dehumanizing. That's a good word. Dehumanizing Nick Dinsmore, Eugene, and saying he has no friends. You don't belong here. You're a joke. All of this just dehumanizing and humiliating this special needs. Again, he's not actually special needs, but this portrayed special needs wrestler that looks up to so many other wrestlers, has a good heart, all of that, and just completely destroys him on live television. Obviously, if you guys know where I'm going with this, you might remember or may not. Eugene ends up walking up the ramp, sad, after getting destroyed for about 10 minutes straight, 15 minutes by the coach. I mean, it was really that long. He gets to the top of the ramp, and The Rock's music hits. The Rock leads him back to the ring, cuts a pretty funny promo against Coach. Coach ends up getting a rock bottom and a people's elbow, and the people go home happy. So it was just a moment I remember I was 19 years old. At that age, I mean, again, not a whole lot offended me, and not really a whole lot offends me now. Despite what society has grown into is this ultra sensitive society. I'm not offended by almost anything, like really, like you would have to make it your life's effort to offend me. But nonetheless, it was a moment that I remembered, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because of the fact that I can't remember the last time any wrestling promotion, and I'm sure I'm wrong, you Twitter police out there will give me, I'm sure, a time, place, and company in which this has happened before, but I can't recall it. Maybe that's why I only watched WWE back in my heyday of 20 years of wrestling, but it's just such a dangerous character to play even back then, and it would be a public relations nightmare in 2019. So it's just amazing to see the transformation. I don't want to say growth, because is it really growth when ratings were 3-4 times that what they were back then, and they were selling out every show? I mean, really? So I don't know. All right. So I'm going to play a little clip for you, and then I'm going to come back and we'll discuss this a little further and get into Super Showdown. Don't worry, that's coming. So here's Eugene. I'm going to start the clip a little bit with the coach. I just want you to hear some of the things coach was saying, and then I'll fast forward a little bit to where The Rock comes out, and then I'll be right back with you guys.
Making fun of you. See, they're booing you right now. You see, Eugene, everybody on this show serves a purpose. Your purpose is to be a laughingstock. The way you dress, the way you act, and my God, Eugene, the smell, are you kidding me? I am ashamed to be in the same ring with you. You don't belong here, son. The only reason you have a job is because you're Eric Bischoff's nephew. Oh, what's the matter, Eugene? Does the truth hurt? Is Eugene gonna cry? Are you going to go back and tell all of your friends? Well, here's another reality check, Eugene. You don't have any friends. Not me, not William Regal. None of these people are your friend.
This is what Bischoff wanted to do to this man. Just break him.
And that is just a little bit of the segment. I mean, it's a pretty long segment that went on for about 20 minutes or so. And again, it ends with The Rock getting the rock bottom on the coach and people go nuts. Again, this is also, too, don't forget, a transition period for The Rock. The Rock was not a weekly figure as he was back in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. He was transitioning at this point very slowly, but surely, to Hollywood. He was getting his break as the Mummy Returns cameo, or the Scorpion King, rather, and he was transitioning into Hollywood, so it was a surprise to see The Rock, and I just remember that, and some of the things that he called, The Rock called the coach were funny. Like, one of them was, I think, popcorn fart or something like that. I mean, this was just classic Rock stuff, and again, having Eugene come back with him as kind of the big older brother coming back to save, you know, his little brother from being the big bully. I mean, there's just so many different analogies you could make. But it was, I wanted to bring that up because it's a cool moment, yes. And the Eugene character is extremely unique. It's just, I wanted to give you guys a stark contrast. If you have not followed wrestling for that long, and if you just joined WWE in the past few years, you're not really sure about the history. Well, go back to pre-public release, IPO, when they were a privately owned company and didn't, and they were still TV 14. And I believe in 2008, July of 2008 is when they went TV PG. And so they were still pre PG by 4 years. So they were still in the thick of the nonsensical stuff. I mean, I believe that same year, it was either 04 or 03 when they did the Katie Vick angle. Maybe I'll do that next week. Oof. That's a brutal one. That's that. I won't get too much into it. I will just say, if you don't know what Katie Vick is, Google it, YouTube it, but don't do it with your parents around. It's viewed by many as one of the worst storylines in the history of WWE, if not the industry. It is terrible, terrible stuff. And then I will just say this. Triple H going to the funeral home, an actual funeral home, and getting in the casket with a dead body. I'll leave it at that. And think about that. Think about that the next time you go on and watch WWE programming today, where everybody wants to make sure they're living their dream and being inspirational, an inspirational champion that kids can look up to, like there's Santa Claus or something. I don't know. So, all right. So I'm already getting into my rant. All right, here we go. So I'm going to take a quick break, though. I'm going to take a breath. You guys take a breath and just strap in. Buckle your seatbelt. Put your tray table up. Make sure your items are stowed, because we'll be right back. Question. Do you guys like coffee, and do you want to look good this summer? Well, check out jrthreads.com. They just opened, and they're about men's clothes. They have fresh coffee and other accessories like sunglasses, flip-flops, and hats. They even have attire for college football with mugs and t-shirts. It's really cool, guys. Very reasonably priced, and they're brand new. That's, again, jrthreads.com. That's J-A-Y-A-R-R. threads.com, and you can also check them out on social media at ARR Threads on Twitter or JR Threads on Instagram. That's JAYARR Threads on Instagram. I'm telling you guys, you got to check this out. They've got some really, really good quality stuff. The website's very well done, professional, and it's got everything you'll need to look and feel great this summer season. Welcome back. Okay, so WWE Super Showdown came to you Friday afternoon, if you're on the East Coast, or depending on where you are in the world, would depend on when that went live for you. But it was 2 o'clock Eastern time on Friday. I was at work, so obviously I couldn't watch it. And it emanated from Jeddah.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
Saudi Arabia. They actually told you the country. Yay for them. Yay for WWE. Let me just say this. Let me get to a couple of bright spots. I'm trying to fill this with some positivity. I went through my wrestling nostalgia. I'm going to go through some bright spots, and there are some. There truly are. I'm not being sarcastic. One of them, and this is serious, although sad, one of the bright spots is that the length of the pay-per-view. Let me just clap my hands. Hooray for WWE for a manageable pay-per-view time. Congratulations. Thank you for this pay-per-view time of reasonableness and not leaving me exhausted, and I can't handle this anymore. Yay. I loved the pay-per-view time. Another bright spot I enjoyed was actually the very first match. I did enjoy Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. Obviously, Brock Lesnar was after Seth Rollins had defeated Baron Corbin, but I actually enjoyed the Baron Corbin Seth Rollins match for the WWE Universal Championship. I really did. I thought that both men worked very hard, and I really thought that they were physical. I am not a fan of Baron Corbin losing via roll-up, okay? Because they do all of these things, and I don't know what it is with WWE's obsession with roll-ups. These guys kill each other, and gals kill each other. Oh, and we'll get to gals, because there weren't any. We'll get to them. And I know why there's not any. I'm not stupid, all right? But, boy, I'm really trying to just keep the beast at bay right now. But why do matches like this have to end in a roll-up? The things that they do to each other, and a roll-up does it? Really? Roll-ups. And I wouldn't mind if it happened once in a while. But a roll-up is like the new super kick. Everyone's doing it, and it doesn't mean anything. I just am not following why roll-ups always have to happen, and especially for a heel that gets that, is in the pinning predicament, because then there's always an out. The referee ended up talking back to Baron Corbin, didn't lay his hands on him, and referee was mic'd, apparently. Apparently, they somehow mic'd the referee, which are never mic'd, but nonetheless, we were all supposed to hear what he was saying, and we did, fine, blah, blah, blah. And then we get a Baron Corbin roll-up who ends up losing, and now you have an out for Baron Corbin, who shouldn't even... He's not championship worthy. I'm tired of Baron Corbin on my screen. This is the go-away heat for Baron Corbin. This is not the, yay, great job of being heel. I wanted Baron Corbin to just go away for like 2 to 3 months after he was fired as the general manager of Raw. I was tired of seeing his prom vests and his slacks and just his promos. I'm tired of it. Like, I think Baron Corbin's very talented. This is not the problem. I think he needed time away. He needed time away to regroup, repackage, rebuild. And instead, next week, it felt like he was still the general manager coming out in his attire that is apparently the most advantageous to dress like that to participate at your highest level is dressing up in a after prom attire. I mean, that literally is what he looks like. And I'm not following that. I guess it's just part of his personality and his persona and his gimmick right now or whatever, but that cannot be comfortable to wrestle in. And so anyway, Baron Corbin loses. He gets angry. He hits end of days. Here comes Brock Lesnar. We're promised a cash-in. And for the third time, didn't get a cash-in. And you could say, oh, well, Brock tried. Huh? He tried. Well, why don't you have the bell ring before you get in the ring? Or hand the briefcase to the referee, make it quick, start the match, and make it official. Instead, Seth, as I predicted, and actually myself and Ashley last week predicted that if Seth doesn't, or if Brock doesn't officially cash in, it's because Brock Lesnar was fought off by Seth and he never got an official cash in. Brock's still the monster, the beast in the bank. We got to have some kind of cute name for it, right? And so Seth ends up fighting off the beast, gets some payback for what Brock did to him last Monday night. And so Brock is still the briefcase holder. Seth is still the Universal Champion. You know what? I mean, as much as I'm tired of this cash-in thing, I'm tired of it. Like, I don't even care when he does it anymore. It was a good segment. Brock took a beating. Seth got some good shots in. I liked this segment. I thought it was good. Another thing I thought was good, but don't worry, this list is getting very short, very quick, was Triple H and Randy Orton. I thought these two did very well. And when we say a motivated Randy Orton, it's a different Randy Orton. And I think Randy was slightly motivated on Friday in Jeddah. I really do. I think he and Triple H showed that they are ring generals. Very smooth. Was Triple H a little rusty? Yeah, a little bit. But the shape he keeps himself in, as the announcers said that they kept him, that Ric Flair said that he is always in, he being Triple H, is always ring ready. And it's true. I mean, think of all the things that Triple H has to do beyond this occasional get in the ring and kick somebody's ass. He wears so many different hats. He's part of the creative. He's the NXT daddy. He is occasionally the D-Generation X degenerate. He is occasionally just the game. He's occasionally just Paul Levesque. He does so many different things and his hands are in so many different pots. It's really amazing, and you got to give Triple H credit for being able to stay in that kind of shape, who is in better shape than some of the guys who are doing this full time. Okay, so props to Triple H for being able to perform at the level he does for only doing this, a few times a year. And I enjoyed the match overall. I think that the match may be a little bit long, but you knew Triple H was going to give himself enough time, right? And I think that Randy Orton held up his end. The RKOs look good. The pedigree was good. I mean, they both kicked out of each other's finish, but it's a pay-per-view. Or the WrestleMania equivalent pay-per-view, excuse me. And they both did a good job. The match was exciting. As much as there is really nothing on the line. And let me tell you, there is nothing on the line. Triple H or WWE will pretend this match never even happened. As most of the matches on this show, they will pretend never happened. This was a good match, and I enjoyed it. It was smooth. It's nice to see a match that is not all about flip-flops and flabs and straight wrestling. You go to chain wrestling to Maybe somebody throws a punch and then you're off to the races, and then you have, you know, some near falls and finishes and kickouts of finishers, and it's a great, they just told a good story. They just told a plain good story. I'd give that match a B. I enjoyed it. It was good. It was B to B plus, good to very good. How about that? I enjoyed it. So not that anything was on the line, and not that we ever got an explanation as to why any of those nostalgic matches were taking place to begin with, other than it's the renewal of a rivalry. Well, why? Why am I getting this? Okay, I mean, was there a demand? Was there a demand for Taker Goldberg? Was there a demand for Triple H Randy Orton? No, there's not. It's just the Prince of Saudi Arabia, who's got a gazillion dollars and wants to pay WWE accordingly to see his fantasy matchups. He wants his video games coming to life is what he wants. So we got it, and I enjoyed that one. But see, guys, this is where this show takes a 90-degree turn. And let me start out with really what are the matches that just I'm not following the logic here. What's happening? And that's Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon. I don't think their match was very good, I'll be honest. Again, Roman Reigns is just closing his eyes. I feel like he's just asleep. And as Roman Reigns is snoozing, Shane McMahon is throwing his terrible punches, taking good bumps, and his effort is there. He's trying to do the right thing. But what I don't like here is it was presented as if Shane McMahon was on equal footing with Roman Reigns. What? And I tweeted this out, and I'm standing by it. So Roman Reigns is apparently on equal footing with Shane. Oh, well, Shane got Shane got an unfair advantage to gain this this beatdown of Roman. Well, he got an initial advantage that Roman Reigns should have fought off with ease. Roman Reigns, you know, the guy that won the 2015 Royal Rumble. The guy that beat Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, kicked out of, what, 3, 4, 5 F5s at WrestleMania 30 before getting cashed in by Seth. The guy that beat Braun Strowman. The guy that beat Drew McIntyre this past year. Oh, and not to mention, also beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, is having trouble with 50-year-old Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon. I understand the goal is to get heat on Shane. But are you building the company around Shane McMahon? Is that the future of your company? A part-time, kind of can perform, not that great, but will take a lot of bumps, has name recognition, but doesn't really belong in the ring with any of these competitors, if you think about it logically. And we're building heat around this guy. Not Drew McIntyre, who can actually compete and put on a hell of a match with Roman, but Shane McMahon. Shouldn't it be the other way around, where Roman has a match with Drew and Shane is like his manager, and you want to see Roman get his hands on Shane to spear him into, you know, the next world, but ultimately Drew is going to be the one that is facing Roman Reigns, and that is believable for him to go toe-to-toe with Roman. Believable. But Shane McMahon, the presentation of this match really pissed me off. I expected Roman Reigns, and I really don't regret picking Roman Reigns to win this, because he should have. Listen to me supporting Roman Reigns. Listen to, boy, they got me so pissed I'm supporting Roman Reigns. What has happened to me? But really, so this program is clearly continuing, because it's not going to end until the babyface gets the ultimate win and the heel takes the defeat and stands tall. So Roman has yet to hit his spear on Shane McMahon, yet Shane has hit like 4 or 5 spears on Roman. And you could say, oh, interference. The problem is this has happened for too long now. I know it's And I appreciate the writing for this and the creative to get a lot of heat on Shane, to make you want to see him get his ass destroyed. And I am on board for all of that. And I'm still on board for all of that. I'm still, believe it or not, through all of this criticism, I am still on board for wanting to see that. The problem that counters that and really outweighs it is you have Roman Reigns, this all-world athlete. This guy that is presented as the top guy, the top big dog, which still doesn't fit with me. I still hate when they say that. It just sounds so forced. But he's your guy. He's the guy. Yet Shane McMahon is able to go toe-to-toe with him. Why? The problem is that this is not just a new problem, right? You have Shane who has gone toe-to-toe with AJ Styles. He's gone toe-to-toe with The Undertaker at WrestleMania in Hell in a Cell. Are you kidding me? Even The Miz I had a problem with. Why are we supposed to believe Shane can go toe-to-toe with anybody? You could draw it all the way back to when he faced Kurt Angle at King of the Ring. Or when he faced Kane at Unforgiven in 2004 or whatever it was. You could go all the way back to those moments. He's had a lot of beatdowns. But it shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening. It should have never happened, and it should especially not happen in 2019. So that's my first complaint. And I'm looking forward to Roman spearing the holy hell out of Shane McMahon multiple times. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's the only shining light, silver lining in this. The next thing that I'd like to talk about are the promos that the champions are giving. Did they all get like a visitation from Jesus Christ himself? I mean, did they all get like some kind of like order from the Almighty? Did they just become inspired and enlightened over the last few weeks? And you ask, well, what are you talking about? If you listen to the champions right now, specifically Seth and Kofi, they both want to be, oh, and don't worry, not just the champions, but the Battle Royal winner. And look out when I talk about that one. But they all have to discuss the fact that they want to be a champion that everyone can be proud of and kids can look up to. Why does WWE, this is the issue here. Look, I like Kofi as champion. Love it. He went to Ghana. Great. He got his home country to basically wipe his ass. Perfect. Love it. Great. You got Seth Rollins, who has scratched clawed to be where he's at. One of the best performers in the company, hands down. And they're both talking about the same message. Why is it when WWE gets a babyface champion, they all have to make them try to mold them into transparent role models for kids? That might strike a chord with the parents who are watching this programming with their kids saying, you can look up to him. But it comes across as soft and forced and corporate. It comes across just so mushy and say your prayers and take your vitamins. I mean, it's really gone back to that. It feels like that. It's so just soft and it's so corporate speak. It's like coming from the mouth of Stephanie McMahon. I hate it. Don't tell me you want to be role models for my kids. First of all, if you're a parent, you should decide who the role model should be for your kids. And, oh, I don't know, maybe it should be you. Not worrying about WWE having to basically be the parents for your kids and showing them somebody that they can look up to. It's just so soft and just it embodies what I despise about the culture of WWE and their presentation of what babyface champions should be. Babyface champions can't ever have an edge now they always have to make sure that they are placating to their audience and the young audience that, ooh, I have a hero now. And before I'd never had anybody I could look up to, but thank God you're champion because all of your morals and everything that you stand for, I can now find something to grasp onto, and I can make sure that I have a figure in my life that I can be like and I can aspire to be. Thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, does WWE really think that people are doing this here? Or is it more of just a corporate PR play? Is it a corporate PR play to make sure that all of their babyface champions who are billed as the good guys and good gals are trying to be role models for kids?
Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
Does that strike a chord with me? I have a kid. I'm 34. I still hate it. Because it's so just fake. It's phony. Why does everybody have to say not just that, but it's their dream? Oh my God, it's just, I've been just every night laying there. And when I go to sleep and I slip into the unknown in the abyss, all I want to be and do is be in that ring and be under contract to WWE holding a championship. Why does everybody have to kiss ass to the company itself? Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's all about the brand. It's not about the stars anymore. And that's an ass backwards way to view your company, because your company grows when you focus on your stars. When you focus on the company and not your stars, the company doesn't grow. What's happening right now? Oh, ratings are dropping. And actually, more lately, they spiked a little bit and then plateaued. But overall, when you look year over year, they're declining and declining big. Well, people are cutting cords. No, people are cutting cords. But people still do DVR. Okay? People DVR, and TV is not crashing that fast when you look at the year-over-year numbers. Look at the financials. Look at the viewership. WWE just got a boatload of money from Fox. And they better pray to their corporate gods that their ratings don't tank and continue to tank. But this whole notion and idea that everybody that comes into WWE should just kiss the ground that they are always walking on, and the very building that Vince McMahon is renting out that night is just holy sacred ground. And my God, my life is just perfect because, oh, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for just even being here is a privilege. It's my dream. It's my dream. Shut up. Shut up. Don't tell me it's your dream. Don't tell me it's your dream. Show me you want to be here. Show me your passion, and I will know through that action that this is the place you've always wanted to be. Do it in a documentary years down the line. Don't do it in promos. Don't do it in promos when I'm hearing the same thing come out of the same soft baby faces' mouths, that everybody has to make sure they're doing a perfect PR move. God, the corporate image is destroying any kind of attachment, any kind of emotional investment that I'm having in these champions. It's just so sickeningly soft and corporate. All right, I'm done repeating myself. The other big thing is the Royal, it's not a Royal Rumble. It's the Battle Royal winner. Who won this Battle Royal, you may ask? Anybody? Was it The Miz? I know, Samoa Joe. No. Probably Elias? No? Wait. Who was it? Let me think. Oh, yeah. It was, what's his name? Mansoor. Mansoor. Yeah. I didn't know him either. And maybe some of you did. Oh, you didn't follow. No, I didn't. I didn't. So WWE creates this match that is the biggest battle royal of all time, right? Nothing on the line. Zero Fs on the line. Nothing. Zero. Right? And yet, these guys are in this ring competing for what? Just to compete. Because that's what we do. But if I win, I just can say, ooh, I win. Right? So Mansoor, who you would have thought was the town's hero because he's from Saudi Arabia. Oh my God, he's the local hero. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is going, who the hell is this guy? And why is everyone cheering for him? And you may say, oh, that's the interest. That everybody, that's what they want. You want to create interest. Well, time will tell if WWE does anything with this guy beyond just appeasing to the locals of Saudi Arabia. He got a bigger reaction than Seth Rollins did retaining the Universal Championship. He got a bigger reaction than Kofi Kingston did, which was a very good match, by the way, with Dolph. I think it could have gone longer, and they can probably do better in their second match, and they obviously are for their steel cage match at Stomping Grounds on June 23rd. But it appeased to it. This is why this is nothing more than a glorified house show. You want to do this on a house show on a non-televised event? Go for it. Don't forget about the millions of other people, the 99% of other people that are watching via the network. Boy, there must be a ton of money. Oh, I almost really cursed there. There must be a ton of money being funneled into WWE for them to just basically glad hand them a homegrown boy that won this battle royal. It's just, oh, it's another, just the corporate piece of WWE has really, really pissed me off over the last 24 to 48 hours. Why do this? Samoa Joe loses yet again. Ali, not Mustafa Ali, just Ali, ends up losing again. Elias, what's new? He loses again. All these guys that you could have used for a long-term purpose to have bragging rights for, you squandered it. And then what does Mansoor do? I'll get it right, not Mansoor. Like Monsoon. It's Mansoor. What does he do? He cuts the corporate promo. He cuts the beautiful, wonderful PR promo of saying that he is so proud to be here. It's his dream to be here. Oh, check, check. What's your third thing you want to say to make sure you check the box of, you know, making Stephanie McMahon tingle in her pants by kissing the corporate ass? Oh, I want to make sure that I'm a hero that little boys can look up to. Oh, give me a freaking break. It's too much. I mean, I'm not watching Blue's Clues here. This should not all be feel good, nonsensical crap. And that's what this was. Nothing more than a appease to the local in-person audience, in the people in attendance, and you have, I guarantee they won't follow up on this for a long-term story. You can bank on that. It's, all right, let's move on here, because I'm gonna get real heated and have to call this an explicit podcast, and I try to keep it on just PG level. Braun Strowman or Bobby Lashley? Oh boy. Strowman beat Lashley in what was kind of a clunky match, right? Clunky. I'd give it like a CC plus. Strowman wins, and we move on. I don't even know what to say about this. I just hope they don't meet again. I do. So Kofi and Dolph, I loved it compared to the others, some others. Kingston defeated Ziggler after it was Xavier Woods, who got some payback on Ziggler, kicked him, and then you had Kofi Kingston hit Trouble in Paradise, and Ziggler's out, and we get another rematch. But again, Kofi Kingston fits all the demographics that WWE wants to really publicize. Okay. He's an underdog. Oh, and more importantly, he's black. Oh, he's talking about race now. It's a fact. Look at where WWE is and where they want to be. And what society's like right now. Very sensitive on race. All-inclusiveness. Diversity. Well, check, check, check for Kofi being champion on that one. He's not losing that belt for a long time. All right. All right, so then the Lucha House Party and Lars Sullivan. I mean, why? What I'm not following is, why was this a 3-on-1 basically tag match with Lars having no partner when Lars came in and easily destroyed all three of them for, like, what, 2-3 weeks in a row? And then Lars had to really fight even harder to beat them here? This should have been all three being stacked on top of each other. 1-2-3. Lars walks out a complete monster. Instead, we have Lars Sullivan win via disqualification. Why? Why? What does this do? Even if the plan is to book a rematch for Stomping Grounds, was Dorado or Metalik that valued by WWE Creative that they couldn't have Sullivan just get the win? This is just terrible execution, terrible booking. Why would you do this? You need Sullivan to be on the rise in a big way, not being stuck in hell with the Lucha House Party, which is where Lucha House Party are. They're somewhere between purgatory and hell. Told you guys, no punches pulled right now. I mean, this is a pay-per-view to really forget. And I did say in my tweet, if you guys follow me at the WWE podcast, you will have known that I said that this pay-per-view pissed me off legitimately for the first time. And Goldberg and Taker weren't even part of it. And you know what? They're not. They didn't add to it. They just kind of embodied what the entire pay-per-view was. And the reason I don't put any blame on either man is because neither man should be in this ring to begin with. This feud came out of nowhere. It was never explained. It just happened. And they come in there. They're two guys that are way past their prime. And I'm trying to enjoy it as a fan. And they did the best they could. Goldberg got busted open. Apparently was knocked out for part of the match. You have Taker, who is doing the best that he can at his age. They botched a lot of spots. The ending was botched. This was not good. Goldberg, even in his prime, was never a technical guy that could go. He was a two moves of doom, intense, had a good look, good physique, personality, and just got over and was there at the right time. And Taker wins, obviously, which was supposed to be via Tombstone, but ended up being a chokeslam because of the botch. Whatever. I don't place any of the blame on either guy. I am appreciative of the fact that this match even happened. Despite how terrible it was, I was still appreciative of it. I just don't like watching matches where I go, oof, you're just waiting for one of the guys to get injured. And I don't like that. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable as a fan because you care for these guys. And I don't want either man at this point in their lives to be injured at all. So, yeah, it was terrible, but so what? Goldberg Taker was a stinker, but it was a stinker that didn't make the pay-per-view stink. It was a stinker that embodied what the rest of the pay-per-view in general was. I told you about my bright spots, and I'm not complaining this whole time. And again, I'm sure I'm going to get some blowback for how negative I was on this show. Do you guys really believe? Somebody give me a case. Somebody explain to me how was Super Showdown good. It, as a whole, I gave you the few bright spots because there always are and I always like to find them. But as a whole, what did this do? What did this further? The answer is right in front of you. Nothing. Nothing. So, guys, that's the show for today. I want to thank you guys for tuning in and being loyal listeners to the show. The show is growing like crazy. Thank you so much. I'll be back Thursday with a new co-host, my second in the rotation, Mary Grader. She will be on the show. She got a lot of positive feedback the first time she was on, and it's a pleasure to have her as a permanent co-host on the show. And she'll be back Thursday to join me to talk Raw and SmackDown and lots of other stuff. Lots of other stuff. It's always a blast. So, but if you guys like me being solo, that's what these Sunday shows are for, right? I do enjoy being solo once in a while. I think it changes things up, but the co-host thing's really cool too. I love that as well. And the website should be up and running by this coming weekend. So a week from now, I should have my shiny new website to show off and you guys can check out. But again, that's always to be determined when it comes to technology. And so be on the lookout for that. I'm also on SoundCloud now. I'm in TuneIn Radio, Spreaker, Spotify. I was going to say Podbean, something like that. I don't know. Basically, like anything that you have for audio podcast catchers, I should then be there. So obviously Apple Podcasts as well. I appreciate the reviews and all of that. We actually spiked at around 100, number 100 rank on the sports and rec category of Apple Podcasts. Really cool deal, guys. Thank you so much. I do appreciate everybody who listens, even those people who think this show sucks and you leave a review. Well, the review still helps. So go ahead and leave those reviews all you want. I mean, it really just is it really is helpful. Obviously, the better ones, the 5 stars are super helpful, but I'm not sitting here begging for them. You guys can do what you want to do. But thank you so much. And I'll be back Thursday with my co-host, Mary Grader. Until then, I'll talk to you next time. Question, do you guys like coffee? And do you want to look good this summer? Well, check out jrthreads.com. They just opened, and they're about men's clothes. They have fresh coffee and other accessories like sunglasses, flip-flops, and hats. They even have attire for college football with mugs and t-shirts. It's really cool, guys. Very reasonably priced, and they're brand new. That's, again, jrthreads.com. That's J-A-Y-A-R-R threads.com. And you can also check them out on social media at ARR Threads on Twitter or JR Threads on Instagram. That's J-A-Y-A-R-R Threads on Instagram. I'm telling you guys, you got to check this out. They've got some really, really good quality stuff. The website's very well done, professional, and it's got everything you'll need to look and feel great this summer season.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.